you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
So good to have you with us on Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle. Warner Brothers released DC's Justice League back in 2017. Joss Whedon stepped in to direct the film after Zack Snyder left the project. The release immediately spurred a years-long social media campaign for the studio to release the Snyder cut of Justice League. Warner Brothers finally answered fans' calls, and Zack Snyder's Justice League is now on HBO Max. Our John Horn sat down with Snyder to talk about the director's cut, the true inspiration behind the film, and more.
I have a lot of questions about your movie, but I want to ask you about something else right now. And that is, we are just in the midst of restrictions being lifted in LA County and across the state and across the country for that matter. It's at a point now where people are starting to think about going back to theaters. What's happening in entertainment? What's happening in theaters? It feels like this is a turning point. And I wonder, have you thought about where it's going? What the future of movie going is? Are you going to go back into a theater anytime soon?
You know, it's funny you should say that. I literally, for Justice League, you know, we prepared a IMAX version. I screened it the other night down at Universal City Walk for Chris Nolan and Emma and a handful of my friends. And it had been a while since I sat and looked at, it's on the big 4:3 screen down there. And it is insanity. I realized that I missed the movies. I thought I missed them, but I didn't realize how much I missed until I sat there and went, my Lord, this is gigantic. Clearly, we love, as a species, we love this collective experience of watching movies, but we also just like being told a story and getting swept up in it. That's a thing we also clearly enjoy. And sometimes the material can feel different depending on how you see it. So I don't know that there's a right or wrong, but I will tell you that I am long overdue some movie time.
You and Chris Nolan have worked for a studio that for the rest of this year is releasing all of its films simultaneously on streaming and video on demand platforms and in theaters. And that feels to me like a signal moment that I don't know how the theaters get out of this, because they're not going to want to book those kinds of films. And furthermore, the economics of making a $400 million movie don't work if you don't have a worldwide theatrical play. So it might even affect the kinds of movies the studios are willing to make going forward.
Yeah, how does that change? Like, how do you start to think about, like, what's a top budget, you know, for a movie like that? You know, I it's cool. It's an interesting way to think about it. But I do think that the return to the theaters, and I think that as soon as you go the one time, people will want to go. I think people will want to go back to the movies, you know. The Roaring Twenties is coming.
I want to ask you broadly about franchise movies like DC movies and Marvel. And it's about who is the master. Is it the franchise which needs certain characters to appear to populate other films? Is it the filmmaker and what he or she wants to do with the story? Is it the studio and they're thinking about how release dates are going to work compared to other things they have in the pipe? With these kinds of movies, are there unique circumstances that make it, I won't say harder, but more complicated to figure out what story you want to tell and what story you have to tell?
That's probably the thing that's gotten me in the most trouble, is that I'm a fan of the genre and I'm a fan of these characters. And so I tend to really personalize the stories. And I don't know that that's an awesome model for the comic book movie. If someone says to me, like, your comic book movies are too dark and too grim, I just, you know, for me, I go, look, there's more, like, just hold on. Like, let's stay with me. I'm going to take you somewhere. We're trying something out here. You know, say Marvel has made famous an amazing, well-crafted and well-honed formula that is entertaining and funny and action-packed and big visual effects and these iconic characters and kind of really cleanly told stories that are that are really well made. But and I feel like DC really isn't that, you know, the comic.
But they've tried.
They've tried.
They've tried to emulate it, and it just looks like discount Marvel rather than its own thing.
And really, that's what I railed against the entire time, is that I was like, guys, our thing is something else. We need to, and I know, you know, and Batman versus Superman, yes, clearly the zeitgeist was against the movie, but I was like, if you guys just stay with it, you know, it will pay.
Let's talk a little bit about fans, too, because we talked about other elements, about serving the franchise and about seeding the clouds for films that are coming out and release dates. The fans have a huge voice in all of this, and I think they had a profound voice in this film.
We've traced the hashtag tag back to...
to you?
Not to me. I wish it was. That would be really...
This is the hashtag release...
Release the Snyder Cut to November 17, 2017. A guy in Wales, I believe, came out of the theater and just tweeted that, like, immediately upon leaving the theater. That movie, when I, 2.5 years later, I was standing in Warner Brothers' conference room pitching them the movie that they had already not released but knew to see if they would finish it. And one of our stats was that Release the Snyder Cut is the most heavily... mentioned film in Warner Brothers history, and it's a movie that they never released, and it just seemed weird. And I said, guys, it just doesn't make any sense that your biggest social media film of all time, you have no intention of releasing. And in the interim, the fans had, just like a snowball, grown in their voices. It started out with, like, you know, a dozen people standing outside of Warner Brothers with pickets. It became like they flew an airplane around the studio with a banner that said Release the Snyder Cut. They started to buy, like, advertisements, bus stops. They bought a billboard in Times Square. It was like crazy. So, yes, they did it.
Well, there's another, I don't know if it's an Easter egg because it's about something far more serious. There's a very quick scene when I think Batman is getting on an on-ramp onto a freeway, and there's a billboard in the background. And it says, "You are not alone." It's a billboard that clearly you placed there from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which ties so sadly and so profoundly into this movie. So I want to ask you, because obviously this film is dedicated to your daughter, Autumn. There's been a lot of talk about how she died. I want to ask you about her life and what she was like as a person and how that inspired this film and how her death made you able to make this.
You know, she was a writer, and she was at Sarah Lawrence for, you know, to be a writer. Her books were these really, like, fantastical books about struggling, about identity, and also about sort of, you know, this sort of unknown kind of force that was trying to consume you and destroy you. When I think about reading her work, I think how obvious it is the sort of struggles she was going through, that she, you know, tried to hide as best she could, and she sort of kept to herself. But, like, those words are, it's right there. Her battles are right there on the page. And I think that's so true with so many artists. You know, she's really, in a lot of ways, you know, the patron saint of this entire film. You know, I wish she could have seen it, but, you know, I just hope that it honors her in some way.
That's KPCC's John Horn with director Zack Snyder talking about his long-awaited and more than four-hour-long recut of Justice League. It's available on HBO Max. Thanks for joining us for Film Week right here on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Have a wonderful weekend.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.